Hey, I love that music.
Oh, yes. We love to hear this music. We love to hear this man's voice once a month. I wish we could hear it more because I love him that much. And he just had a birthday recently as well.
Oh, nice.
Our dear friend from the movie, guys, Paul Preston. How are you, Paul?
What's up, gang? How are you?
Not much, brother. Paul. How are you?
Well, you're getting day after birthday parties voice. Nice. So
that's the theme of the show.
Suave bola.
Right? Okay.
and happy birthday to you, brother.
Thank you very much. I'm actually surprised you're doing a show with all this rain, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Stay in your homes. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're at. Doing the show from here.
We're motivated from Indiana people. Rain, sleet, snow, hail. We getting it. Indiana.
And it's the dulcet tones of Steve Silva. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you doing, Paul?
Because he's had like three gummies.
Yeah. That's true.
The birthday did treat me well. I did all sorts of nonsense, you know, hiking and traveling and then like shows and movies, of course. So dinners, all the freebies. It must run in my family. My niece gets all the freebies too. You know, you go over to Firehouse Subs on your birthday, they give you half a sub, and then you go over to Krispy Kreme, they give you donuts, go to Starbucks, get a drink, go to Buffalo Wild Wings, get six wings, you know, just kind of take care of yourself for the day.
You got it all, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, Rook,
nowadays you have to join things too. Like, you can't just go show your driver's license and get a free meal at Denny's anymore. You have to already be a member of their, like, Denny's rewards and get a QR code, so they make it hard. But I'm up for the challenge.
Yeah. You know, real quick, before we get into certain things, man, I wanted to talk about something that I thought was pretty cool. I've been wanting to go to this place for some time. You went for your birthday, and let me see if I can find it real quick, because I saw the post on it. But it was this restaurant or whatever at Pioneertown.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Pioneertown real quick.
Well, it's Joshua Tree adjacent, so it's out there in the desert. And it's a town that was built entirely to be like a place to film westerns. And, you know, like old, like Tom Mix, you know, like old westerns. They still shoot some stuff out there occasionally. I think Ingrid Goes West with Aubrey Plaza shot out there. But not a lot of modern films. But, like, it's known for back in the day. Like, they just, guys from here in L.A. went out there to build a place to say, this is where we'll have ranches and, you know, all the buildings we need to shoot westerns. In fact, down the main drag in town is still a dirt road that you can only walk down and not drive down. But in the middle of it all, they have a restaurant called Pappy and Harriet's. It's kind of a old school, you know, like crap all over the walls, wooden doors, you know, like it's very, very cool. And I've gone there a number of times to try and eat, but you know, you got to kind of show up and see what happens, and the wait was always horrendous. So go early for lunch, and that's what got us a real short wait, about 15 minutes, and we sat down. So Pappy and Harriet's, they're also notorious for 2016, I believe, whatever Desert Trip was, the big show out of Coachella with all the legendary classic rock bands. Paul McCartney went out there and played, and that would be an amazing small venue to see a guy who fills arenas, you know, like McCartney. And they have live music all the time, too, apparently, but I haven't seen a show there yet. But then the food is like Santa Maria barbecue, and so it's a real cool vibe out there. It's awesome.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that she did a music video out there at Pioneertown.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, and I thought it was really cool, because I know sometimes every now and then, too, they do Western reenactments down there as well.
Yeah, and they have a Pioneertown Film Museum you should look at too.
We were looking at the pictures right now on that too as well. Yeah, it looks really, yeah, really cool.
Between there and Lone Pine, I don't know if you know Lone Pine, but if you go up the 395 freeway from Southern California, it's a great drive. You hit all sorts of cool places between here and Mammoth Lakes, and one of them is Lone Pine. And they, again, there and Pioneertown, they shot hundreds of movies you haven't seen. And I gotta pull up one of these movies one day and just see, like, what were they doing? Like, what's such a big deal in a story that they got to go and shoot a Western there? So Lone Pine, they had the Alabama Hills out there. They shot some recent stuff, too, like Iron Man when Tony Stark, you know, shows off the Jericho Missile Project. They shot that out there.
Right.
And Django Unchained. But, like, also a history of just hundreds of movies out there, you know, and then yeah. hundreds of Pioneer Town. You don't know what they are, but it's fascinating to look through the history in that museum.
Speaking of filming and everything, I saw a post, too, that you had that a European rock band used your Echo One in a music video.
Yeah, I got a call. These guys, a rock band in Europe, I don't want to say who they are, but you may not have heard of them. But when it comes out, I'll blab all about it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much they're saying or, you know, about it just yet. But yeah, they rented the Ecto-1 because they have this party song, and their premise is they arrive at this party and they kind of get the party started with their, you know, they're kind of like an electronica band with guitars. So uh-huh. it's kind of a mix of high tech and industrial rock. And they said, wouldn't it be cool if we showed up in an Ecto-1 to get the party started?
Oh, that's funny.
Sure. I'll be right there. Yeah. So like, why not?
Nice.
That's pretty cool. And, yeah, when that comes out, you'll hear all about it. And then I looked up the band, and they look pretty cool, too. So I'll make it.
Awesome, brother.
Hey, about it.
Awesome. Well, let's get started, buddy, and talk about the movies. I heard that you went to go see the new Ghostbusters.
Well, listen, as an owner of an Ecto-1, clearly Ghostbusters is my thing.
How is this one?
One of the top three comedies I've ever seen. I think you talked about the funniest movies. For me, everything's subjective, of course. It's Blazing Saddles, Airplane, and Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. There's just a ridiculous amount of jokes in Ghostbusters. Like, they can't get out of a scene or get through a conversation without something funny. And so the great present for me on my birthday was the very day of my birthday. The Ghostbusters movie came out Thursday night before, you know, the official they release on Friday, but they're always coming out Thursday night now.
Right.
So who cares if it was okay?
Really?
It's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts. So that's good. You know, because
oh, man.
This is kind of where the franchise has been heading. If you watch anything, like even the trailer where there aren't a lot of jokes, it's a decent but flawed ghost story. But it's not a very good comedy, so that's kind of a shame.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but, you know, do you want to see it? I'm sure to go watch the you know, all the good guys get together. Yeah, Aykroyd's the best he's been in a while. Actually, his role is pretty substantial in this one because, you know, it involves this artifact that Ray comes in possession with that may contain the presence of this ancient evil spirit named Garaka. And he was confined there after he, you know, wreaked havoc on the Earth and so people put his spirit in this artifact, and he wants to come back and freeze the Earth with something known as the Death Chill. So it starts with Ray, and he kind of plays a big role in the whole thing. And Aykroyd was really up for it. You know, I haven't seen him like be that good, to be honest, lately. He kind of just comes in and does his thing, you know, and could be kind of corny, but he's very good here. But your MVP, I think, is still Paul Rudd. He's just brings a funny charm to everything that he says and does. Even when it's not a hilarious line, you still like him so yeah. much, you know. So he's great. But
I was going to ask, Bud. But now, isn't the guy who wrote Afterlife the same guy who's directing this one, or wrote this one as well?
I do believe Gil Keenan was a writer on Afterlife with Jason Reitman, and then Jason Reitman directed. Now they both wrote this, but Gil Keenan directed.
So, okay.
And Gil Keenan directed Monster House. If you ever saw that film nominated for Best Animated Film years ago, so he's got some cred going on, but unfortunately this story is of so much setup. It's like setup, literally for like an hour and a half, and then they solve the plot and then it's over. So it's like
oh wow,
yeah, like they set up the plot in the original Ghostbusters, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose, they go to jail, then they got to figure out how to do everything.
They go to jail again?
No, that's the first
one. Oh, the first one, okay.
But they're still,
and
not,
it's all because of Dickless.
Dickless here, yeah. They're still not revered, though. They it's weird. All these sequels never give them their like great moment where they save the city. Like they're just so down and out all the time. It's a little frustrating. But the cameos are kind of just reminders of things you've seen in the past without coming back and really adding much more or advancing the plot. Mm. Even Phoebe, the great Phoebe from Ghostbusters Afterlife, the MVP of that film. Make some choices I found a little highly suspect, gets kind of the whole gang in trouble, and you're like, oh, what we're feeling for and rooting for her, she's who we like. It comes down to, I went to see Evan Almighty, remember the Bruce Almighty sequel with Steve Carell at Universal years ago. I actually worked the premiere, I was shooting a lot of stuff out there. and was watching it, and the scene happened early in the film between Evan and his kids, and they advanced the plot a little bit, and they cut to the next scene, and my friend Adam leaned over and said, Judd Apatow would have thrown a joke in there. And that's kind of what happens here a lot. You're like, oh, good boy, don't leave the scene without a joke. Don't just advance the plot. If we want to see a story advance and a ghost story, you know, we'll watch any number of horror films or whatever else right. is out there for a ghost story. But we need the jokes, I think. And Murray's as funny as ever when he gets to be. But the script leaves too many scenes without a punchline, I think. So, and that makes me wonder if maybe Apatow would have been a good choice to direct this film. But this is outside of his, seemingly outside of his genre. He got just a simple.
Yeah, because I was really looking forward to this one because, I mean, Afterlife was so good. You know, and you know, and how it was and everything. And I know we talked about it when it came out and just how great it was. So I was really looking forward to this to try and bring everybody back. And knowing that, you know, the original people on Afterlife were doing this one, you know, I was hoping it was going to be just as good or you know, even a little bit better.
Yeah, well, of course, Ghostbusters 2016 comes out. Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, and... they just spent way too much money on that movie, mm-hmm. and so it underperformed. Ghostbusters Afterlife spent like $50 million less than that. Made about the same amount of money, but suddenly that's a hit. So that's why we get this new one. This new one cost $100 million. I'm like, guys, keep it down. You remember the Cord Jefferson speech from the Oscars after he won for writing American Fiction? He's like, $200 million movies are great, but how about we make, you know, $10, $20 million movies?
Right.
My friend Mike has always said the best Star Wars movie we'll ever see will be the one that's $40 million because they'll focus on other things.
Right.
And even with this new Afterlife, but it's like, God, they focused on so much with the ghosts that they didn't focus on the stuff we love, which is the characters and the jokes and, you know, how unusual the whole damn thing is.
Right. So it took away from so basically the special effects kind of took away from the actual storyline itself then.
The fun of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And now I look at the 2016 one with the girls, and that one looks hilarious by comparison.
Wow.
You know, was it received as well? So maybe over time that'll get some love. We'll see. But go see it because the gang is all back together.
Yeah.
But just, I wish there was more of the old flair. I mean, that's the tough part of a sequel, you know, to recapture the lightning in a bottle. And I don't know if they did.
Right. All right. You also wanted to talk about Knox Goes Away, man. How's this one?
I do, because I got to talk about something I loved. You may not know of this film. It kind of is sliding in under the radar when all this Dune and Ghostbusters stuff is coming out. And so a small drama about a hitman who has dementia. It may get lost in the shuffle. But this is a noirish thriller directed by, produced by, and starring National Treasure Michael Keaton. Knox Goes Away.
This is the Michael Keaton film.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I heard. Oh, this was so good. I heard this is really, really good.
Totally. I think so. Hitman, who's diagnosed with dementia. So he's got like multiple problems trying to do his job, as you can imagine. But the big deal is the return of his estranged son, who has also gotten himself into trouble. Now he has to deal with that as well, you know, while being told by a doctor, handle your affairs, you know. So handling an affair is a different story when you're a hitman.
Yeah, and then isn't like Pacino or De Niro in this one also?
Pacino. Oh, Pacino's in it. Yeah, Pacino. Oh, he's like God. A big, sloppy...
who was that?
You know who I am. Come on. Great ass! And I think he's 83, right? Or still getting
something like that. Here, I'll look it up.
He looked a little warbly out there.
He's 83, yes.
83? You know? Yeah. Damn.
But, you know, he's handing out Best Picture at the Oscars.
What looked like right there?
My eyes see Oppenheimer. It's like, what did you do? Announce it proudly. This is a big
good, man.
But in this, he's a lot of fun because he plays the crime boss. He plays very low-key, kind of doesn't have a fancy life and constantly has to keep reminding the guy who has dementia who wants to help out. So you know I'm a criminal, right? You know? You want me to help you handle your affairs? Which is funny. But, so this is a whole new take on the crime drama. You know, you don't see hitmen having to deal with their own connection to reality. And Knox's and Keaton's second time directing, and he did an excellent job. You know, very specific direction, mm-hmm. very neat and tidy editing and putting everything together so you follow the story well. Yeah, but it's not as many theaters as Ghostbusters, so that hugged a lot of the big screens. But, you know, Keaton, I think, just proving he's 72.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But by now, I think he's proven a la Tom Hanks, although without as many ways to showcase it, that he can pretty much play anything. He's
really good. Absolutely. And then, of course,
he got James Marsden in there. You got Oscar winner Marcia Gay Harden. And there's some plot twists and character twists that keep it really good to a very satisfying ending. I was watching it going, oh boy, if this ends well, this is going to be great. And I was like, ooh, yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
It sounds to me that this almost kind of has like a Road to Perdition kind of feel to it.
Yeah, add in dementia, and yes. he's got to handle his son. It's kind of just fun watching him go through and deal with everything. Right. And then there's moments of, you know, crazy violence, because he is a hitman after all. And it's just a pretty unique take on that kind of movie. So highly recommend it. And you got to seek it out if you still want to see it in theaters. It's like, I think, in Orange, like it's out in like, so it's like, I think it's like in four or five places in all of LA because of, you know, the bigger movies that are pushing it out. But even if you wait for streaming on this, it's definitely worth a look.
Awesome. And of course, Dune Part 2, man. What's your take on this thing?
Well, I was hoping to go out on a high note, but despite the love that Dune Part 2 is getting from the box office and critics, there is great cinematography. There's a rogues gallery of top notch actors, brilliant production design.
But
I don't care.
Really?
I watched the story and I'm like, boy, I don't care about any of this. You know, whoever loves it, I can see why they would, and I can see why, you know, especially for the novel, people who love the novel, the adaptation, because does it play like a book. It's kind of convoluted, bunch of stuff, a lot of witchy stuff and prophecies and what have you. It all kind of, for me, kind of plays very muddled, even though I guess, you know, they've trimmed it way down from what the book actually gives, because you know, the book is always better, which is why I stopped reading, because I love movies. But also, you know, I always say if you read a book in 2 hours, it's gonna suck. So you know, you need to put your time into it.
So let me ask you this, Paul, real quick. I mean, now of course this is a remake, you know, based on the book. That, I mean, because there was the original Dune back in, what was it, late 80s or mid 80s or something like that?
Yeah, maybe even early, like 80s.
Okay, so now in comparison, though, I mean, which one is better? Or is there one that's better than the other? Or are they kind of like around the same? And it's just as boring?
Yeah, that's the deal. This just may not be my jam.
Got it.
You know, David Lynch's was bizarre, and now of course it's very much stuck in the 80s, you know, and you watch it and you just go, ooh, it's kind of just cornball 80s stuff. And then it's totally updated for today with this one. You know, and Timothy Chalamet is great. Shyamalan, he's director. Chalamet is great. His character goes from, you know, action guy wannabe to like maybe a savior. That's an arc he plays really well. And the weird part is it also looks like he's going to be a part three. Like, I remember watching part one and it ended saying, the end, part one. I'm like, you can't do that.
Right.
You can't. I felt like Simon, you can't do that. You can't, you know, because I didn't know it's a part, because then it's like even more unsatisfying when I go in knowing and not knowing it won't end, and then it doesn't end, and I said to go, what am I doing?
Right.
You know, so, and it looks like this, I mean, they're definitely setting up, there could be a part three, we'll see if there is. I don't know if they finished all the material the book has, if there were a series of books, or what. I love Denis Villeneuve, too, he's a great filmmaker who made this in the first one, but the Dune films just don't carry that accessible weight that I can, you know, latch onto with my heart, you know, and enjoy. But he did with something like Arrival and Sicario. Like, those movies, I think, are fantastic. So he's a great filmmaker, but when the story's got to work for me to like what he's doing more, him being great for something that didn't move me like Dune still could pull me over to really enjoying it as much as other people.
Yeah. All right,
it's
my friend.
Like, wait, I'll say this one last thing. It's kind of like Tenet. I don't know if you remember the movie Tenet with Christopher Nolan. Was about, you know, people who can reverse time and all that. But the movie really was just kind of showing you how cool that technology was and how cool everybody in it and dealing with it was as well. And I'm like, this isn't quite as good as Inception, which had DiCaprio's loss of his wife really driving the whole movie and engaging your heart and everything. So Tenet only engaged my head. Dune, same. I would say it never engaged my heart. It just kind of engaged my head, and especially as a filmmaker going, oh, he did a pretty good job with all this stuff, but I never was like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's his birthday. He's allowed to be chatty.
I know I don't like to come on and crap on movies, but I do recommend Knox Goes Away. So that's the one to take away from today.
Awesome. Awesome. So basically we're going to see Ghostbusters just for the cast itself to see them reunited again. And then Knox, go see Knox because Michael Keaton and Pacino are excellent in it. It's a great storyline. So awesome, brother. Well, let the birthday celebration continue, my friend.
I will. Yeah, birth week. It's usually what I do. So, yeah, I'm going to continue to get weird.
Awesome. Can't wait, man. And I look forward to seeing more pictures up there on Facebook.
All right, man. Farewell.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself. Have a good one.
See you.
All right. Bye. And there you go, guys. Paul Preston from The Movie Guys. Check him out at themovieguys.net.